Take your Bibles and turn with me, please, to the book of Revelation, chapter number 20. Revelation, chapter number 20. Let me invite you to come back to the service tonight. And Brother Don McCann will be bringing the message tonight. Brother Don's a dear friend, a friend of this church, a friend of this pastor. And he would probably never say this, but I'll say it for him. He's a friend of God. He loves the Lord, and I appreciate that, and appreciate his fellowship in these days. Revelation chapter number 20. Let me, before we read the scripture this morning, just tell you what's on my heart. There's been a conflict going on now for about 2 weeks, a severe conflict between the Ukrainians and the Russians. And I've heard this statement over and over throughout this conflict. We're just not sure how this is going to end. Have you heard a statement like that? I've heard statements like they need to give him an off-ramp. We're just not sure how this is going to end. Well, this morning, there are a lot of things in this world I'm not sure about, but I'm sure how it's going to end. And I want to share that with you this morning. And I pray that it'll be a blessing. Stand with me in reverence to the reading of the Word of God. I'll just read a few verses in the chapter, and then we'll preach through this chapter, God willing, if the Lord will help us today. The Word of God said in verse number 1, "And I saw..." Aren't you glad God let John see? Let me give you a thought. What would John have seen had it not been for the Isle of Patmos? Had he not been exiled for the Word of God and for his testimony, he might have been like a lot of us, too busy to see what God wanted him to see. But out there, it was just him and the Lord. And the Lord, over and over and over in the book of the Revelation, and by the way, this is just a kind of a little parenthesis right here. Some people will say, you got no business in the book of the Revelation. They haven't even read chapter 1. Blessed are they that read. That's what the Word of God said. Amen. I believe God's people ought to know what's coming. Amen. And John uses the words, "and I saw." And I just want to say thank you, John, for writing down what you saw under the inspiration of the blessed Holy Ghost of God. "And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up." Boy, wouldn't that be a good day? Yeah. Shut him up. "The Word of God said, and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more, till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed a little season. Now I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, for the Word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. You can be seated. Please pray with us and pray for us. Father, thank you today for the privilege to meet here in the house of God. Thank you, Lord, that we have a book in front of us that we know, not a book that just contains the truth, but a book that is the truth. Lord, you said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto? according to thy word. O God, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. God, thank you for allowing John to see. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for allowing us to glean. And I pray now, Lord, that you'd speak to our hearts this day. God, give us what we need, that we might be more like Jesus. Give us what we need, that someone might change our Father, the direction that they're headed in. And Lord, that they might be saved by the marvelous grace of God. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen. I begin looking here at these things that are going to happen in the end of the end, as far as this world's concerned. And I want to share some of the things that God spoke to my heart about with you. The Bible here, John said he saw an angel. I see a great binding that has taken place here. If you read the book of Job, the Bible said that the old devil, he came from going up and down in the earth. The Bible said over there in the book of Peter, our adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But there's going to come a day when he won't be walking about, when he won't be going up and down in the earth. The Word of God said he's going to be bound. I say, oh, happy day. Wait till you see, beloved, what's going on in the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. When Satan is not on the scene, he's been bound. He's been put into the bottomless pit where the beast and the false prophet are. The lying stops and the cheating stops. It's going to be a marvelous time, say amen, under the reign of the Lord Jesus Christ in that day. Some consider themselves to be post-millennialists, believing that we're already in the millennium, that man is just getting better and better. I'll show you after a while, beloved, even after Christ reigns for 1,000 years, it's still in the heart of man to rebel against the goodness and the grace of God. People say, well, we're just a product of our atmosphere, just a product of our surroundings. But I'm going to show you, beloved, that even in that 1,000-year reign, when the atmosphere was perfect, when the king was perfect, when everything, beloved, was perfect, still there's rebellion in the heart of man apart from the grace of God and the Spirit of the living God. But here Satan is bound. I want you to notice something here, beloved. An angel. I think it's important to think about this for just a moment. The Bible didn't say Gabriel. The Bible didn't say Michael. We know that this is not one of those where the Bible, and when it talks about an angel, a theophanies is talking about Christ. An angel. I believe God is trying to say something here to us, beloved. The devil thinks he's big stuff, but God just going to send an angel. An angel. An angel. I'm going to tell you, God's got more power in his little finger, say amen, than all the devil and his cohorts. He's just going to send an angel to bind him in the chains. I don't know what kind of chains they are, but I know they'll hold him, and they'll hold him well for that 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more. Do you understand, beloved, that there's people being deceived on every hand today? I mean, listen, even in our country, there's people being deceived today on every hand. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, the vice president got up yesterday, and I believe she told the truth. She said this. She said the American people got what they voted for. I say amen. Finally, the truth came out. Amen. And she thinks that everybody's satisfied. Well, I'm going to tell you something right now, beloved. Listen, we're being deceived. We're being deceived in our nation. We're being deceived in our world. And there's somebody bigger than Putin behind it all. And that's the Satan. That's the God of this world. That's the one, the prince and the power of the air. That's the one, beloved. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness and darkness. And beloved, the wickedness is in high places in our world. But thank God there's a day coming when he'll be bound and put into that bottomless pit. Amen. And we ought to be excited about that day. You say, Pastor, is that way out yonder? I personally don't believe it is. Paul didn't believe it was. Beloved, we ought to be living our lives on the threshold of the coming of the Son of God, realizing that just any day now, we're going to see that great binding where he's put away for the 1,000 years. After that, he's going to be loosed for a little season. I want to ask you something, beloved. What would a country be like without the devil? What would a world be like without the devil? What would a home be like without the devil? Let me ask you this. What would a church be like without the devil? Amen. No misunderstandings, no unkind words. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, thank God I'm headed for a place without the devil. Amen. And without sin and without flesh. And thank God that day is right around the corner for the children of the living God. There's a great binding. And then the Bible said, I saw thrones. The second thing I want you to see in the chapter is a great blessing. The Bible said here, and I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus. I'm telling you, beloved, I'm not sure how strong Christianity is today. Amen. You say, Pastor, you're going to get on dangerous ground. Well, I might as well stay there. Say amen. I'm telling you, beloved, we weren't threatened for the last 2 years of being beheaded for naming the name of Christ and going to the house of God. And a lot of people's bowed down to a lot less than being threatened to be beheaded. Say amen. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, these people in the tribulation hour, they said, we don't want your mark. We're not going to take your mark. And listen, back in my childhood days, I used to think, beloved, what is that? Is it some kind of a tattoo? We don't even know today. But the technology, beloved, listen, they're wanting to do it now. Put a little thing under your hand in order to go get groceries. Instead of having money, you just run it across the scanner and it takes it out of your account. I'm just telling you, beloved, I can see clearly now how that it would be easy to set this thing up with a cashless society, and you either bow down to the beast and the false prophet and the devil and take the mark, or you do without food. I'm glad, thank God, I won't be here for that mess. Jesus is coming, and the church will be raptured out, those that are born again. But you need to remember, out of every nation, kindred, people, and tongue, during the tribulation, there's going to be people say yes to the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And beloved, those people, many of them, rather than deny Christ, rather, beloved, listen, than take the mark of the beast, they're going to say, go ahead and cut my head off, amen. Go ahead and take my life, because my life is nothing without Jesus. The Word of God said here, beheaded for the witness, for the Word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Some, beloved, believe we're already in the millennium. Some believe there are millennials, that there'll be no millennium. We believe, thank God, listen, there's coming a millennium. We're premillennials. We believe the rapture will take place before the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, he's going to come. Listen, and the Bible said we're going to meet him in the air. That's what the Word of God said. Amen. I'm going to be with Jesus. We're going to hear the shout. If you've been born again, you'll hear the shout. The world won't hear the shout. The world will be left to explain where we went. But I'm telling you, we're going. Amen. If you're born again, we're going. The dead in Christ will rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Oh, beloved friend, here in the tribulation hour, there are people that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus. What a blessing. You say, Pastor, what's that have to do with us? Look at verse 5. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Listen, The Bible said, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. That's every born again believer. On such the second death hath no power. Aren't you glad? Thank God. Listen, you say, Pastor, I don't know how this thing's going to end. You better read this book. This book will tell you how it's going to end for the child of God. I'll tell you this. It'll also tell you how it's going to end for those that are not children of the living God. I see a great binding in this chapter, but I see a great blessing in this chapter. I don't know about you. One of my favorite lines, Brother Ralph, in song, is this robe of flesh, I'll drop and rise and seize the everlasting prize and shout while passing through the air, farewell, farewell, sweet hour prayer. Oh, glory to God. God's children are going to be changed in a moment, the twinkling of an eye. Have a body fashioned like unto the glorious Son of the living God. Listen, never to think another evil thought, never to do another evil deed. I'm telling you, beloved, thank God for the deliverance. You say, Pastor, what are you talking about? I'm talking about the redemption of the body. My soul and my spirit have already been redeemed. But there's a carcass that's standing in front of you that is awaiting that redemption. Amen. When I'll be changed into his likeness. Amen. We don't know what we shall be, but we know this. When we see him, we'll be like him. For we'll see him as he is. That's good enough for me. Just to know I'll be like him. Just to know I'll be like him. Oh, beloved friend, I believe those that are looking forward to being like him in completion ought to want to be as much like him as we can right now. Say amen. On the way. Oh, beloved, there's a great blessing. Think about that. But I want to give you this. There's a great battle. Notice what the Bible said in verse 7. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations. Let me paint you a picture, beloved. Perfect surroundings. Christ is king. He's ruling in the millennial reign with a rod of iron. Everybody in the millennial reign is not doing what's right because they want to. Everybody is doing what's right because they have to. They're made to. Jesus Christ is ruling and reigning on the earth. You say, Pastor, can you back that statement up? Yes, I can. Reminds me of a story I heard years ago. Little boy was standing up in the seat of the truck. His daddy said, son, sit down. The little boy just kept standing there. He said, son, I told you, sit down. And the little boy just kept standing there. He said, one more time, son, I'm going to pull this truck over and I'm going to wear you out if you don't sit down. And the little boy just sat down in the seat. He looked over at his dad and he said, hey, dad. He said, what, son? He said, I'm sitting down on the outside, but I'm still standing up on the inside. Beloved, that's the way it's going to be in the millennial reign. There's a lot of people going to be doing right on the outside, but on the inside, there's still a rebel. You say, I'll never forget when God taught me this. I didn't realize this truth for many years of my Christian life. But look at it with me. The Word of God said there are four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog. If you study your Bible, that's coming out of Russia to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city. And boy, there was some battle, wasn't there? No. The Word of God said fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. Beloved, listen, they ought to just read the story of the sons of Korah and knew better. Say amen. They're no match for the God of heaven. Beloved, God didn't even have to get out his sword. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, God is almighty and all-powerful. And in the end, you better be on God's side. Amen. In the end, or you're going to be in a heap of trouble. Oh, thank God, beloved, we see here the great battle, and God devoured them. The Word of God said he goes out to deceive the nations. He's gathering up an army to battle. And the Word of God, even in the millennial reign, said the number of them was as the sand of the sea. It's not just a few. Beloved, listen, that's going to wipe away all of this mess that people are being taught. Man's just getting better and better. No, it may not be a word, but they're getting worse and worse. Say amen. They're not getting better and better. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, there's only one that can deal with the rebellion that's in a man's heart, and that's the Lord Jesus. Amen. He's the only one that can change a heart of rebellion to a heart of submission, can change a heart of hatred to a heart of love, can change, beloved, listen, our destination from a place called hell to a place called heaven. There's only one that can do that, and his name is Jesus. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Do y'all believe the Bible? Do y'all believe the Bible? Listen, listen, there are people that teach you today that, listen, when you die, that's it. It's over. They're going to wish that was it. They're going to wish it was over. Beloved, that's only the beginning. One way or the other, it's only the beginning of blessing for the child of God, or it's only the beginning, beloved, of torment for those that leave this world without the Lord Jesus, the devil that deceived them. I wonder in that moment how it's going to feel. Beloved, listen, we're coming upon April 1st, and they call April 1st April Fool's Day. And there'll be a little trick played here, a little trick played there. Don't get any ideas, Miss Eve. I don't need any little tricks. I got enough problems, amen, without a little trick. But I'll tell you this, beloved. Well, she did a good one yesterday. Just yesterday. And Brother Gary, you can relate to this. You remember when I thought that box that y'all went and picked up wouldn't go in that hole? You remember that's the thought that went through my mind? Listen. My wife brings a pattern yesterday. We opened this sink. She's got her a new sink. And she brings the pattern in, beloved, Brother Steve, and there's 3 inches all the way around the pattern. The hole has already been cut. It's already been cut. It was cut by the factory for a factory-sized sink. And I'm thinking, oh, my goodness. That sink is going to fall through the hole. And I didn't take time to think it out. I just went and grabbed the sink. And I, shoo, it fit perfect. When you read on the pattern, it says undermount. In other words, if you're going to bring the sink under, you cut it out this size. But if you're going to drop it in the way we were dropping it in, then it was the correct size. Don't be thinking about no April Fool's jokes, amen. You're done for this year, amen. But anyway, I'm going to tell you who people are going to feel foolish. Those that followed Satan right into the region of the damned. In a moment of time, they're going to understand they've believed a lie, and they're going to be damned forever and forever. And they're going to realize, beloved, listen, tormented day and night forever and ever and ever. I see in this chapter a great binding, a great blessing, a great battle. But I see something else here, beloved, and that is a great book. Look in verse 11. I saw a great white throne, him that sat upon it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. Oh, glory to God. I'm glad that I'm not in that crowd where there's no place. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He said, I go to prepare a place. That's a lot different than no place. Amen. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Verse 12, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things that were written in the books according to their works. Beloved, there's a great book here. It's called the book of life. I want to ask you something. Beloved, is your name in the book of life? Is your name sealed in the book of life? I believe with all of my heart, beloved, listen, you may not believe this, but I believe every name is in the book of life to start with. You say, Pastor, what makes you believe something like that? Well, the Bible said, I will not blot his name out, right? The believer, I will not blot his name out. I believe this goes along with the fact, beloved, that it's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But I believe, listen, that day, it's not necessarily that God wrote my name in the book that day, but that day I trusted Jesus as my Savior. My name was sealed in that book, beloved, that day. And beloved, my name will never be blotted out of that book, the book of life. And is your name, beloved, sealed in the book of life this morning? The Bible said here, the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. You say, Pastor, do you believe people are going to give an account to God? All of us are. Not at this judgment. The judgment seat of Christ is where the believer stands to give an account of the deeds done in the body, whether they be good or evil. Beloved, if we were judged according to one sin, we'd all go to hell. Amen. My sins were nailed to an old rugged cross. The Lord Jesus took my sin in His own body on that tree. And I'm forgiven of my sin. But I will give an account of my service. I will give an account of my life since that day that I trusted Him as my Savior. And here, beloved, they're given an account. Not, listen, being judged according to their works. The Bible said anybody that's judged according to their works is going to be in trouble. God's people are not judged according to their works. They're rewarded according to their works. That's a big difference. See, Jesus said, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we not cast out devils in thy name? Have we not done many marvelous works in thy name? He will say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Beloved friend, nobody's ever known God through good works. The only way to know God is through the good grace of God. And when you know Him in the grace of God, then you'll want to do good works, not in order to be saved, but because you are a child of the living God. The Bible said in this great book, the sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. They were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. I say this to you this morning. The average person in America, if I talk to 100 people, 95 of them have never heard of the second death. They've never heard. We're talking about, beloved, a lot of them are church people. Amen. Listen, the devil don't mind you being a church people. He don't want you to be a Christ people. He don't want you to be a born-again people. Beloved, He don't want you to know the Lord in the free pardon of sin. You say, Pastor, do you really believe that? Yes, I do. I can't remember who the preacher was, but said one of the greatest mission fields in America is the church. In the church house, beloved. That's where God got me. Amen. Taught me something about relationship. Traded religion for a relationship. The Danish philosopher, Kierkegaard, he tells a parable of a theater where a variety show was proceeding. Each time it's more fantastic than the last and is applauded by the audience. Suddenly the manager comes forward. He apologizes for the interruption, but the theater is on fire and he begs his patrons to leave in orderly fashion. The audience think it's the most amusing turn of the evening and they cheer thunderously. The manager again implores them to leave the burning building and he is again applauded vigorously. At last he can do no more. The fire raced through the whole building and the fun-loving audience with it. And so, concluded Kierkegaard, will our age, I sometimes think, go down in a fiery destruction to the applause of the crowded house of cheering spectators. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, Jesus is coming. But there's something that needs to be said with that. Judgment is coming upon this world. Amen. Thank God Jesus went to the cross and willingly gave His life for us. But if we refuse to trust Him, even in the millennial reign, we see the rebellion in men's hearts and we turn away from Him. There can be nothing but the lake of fire waiting on the other side. Listen to me. This guy, y'all know him, actor W.C. Fields. A friend of Fields visited him in a hospital room and was surprised to find him thumbing through a Bible. He asked what he was doing with the Bible. And W.C. Fields responded, "I'm looking for loopholes." Can I tell you something about heaven? No loopholes. You'll either come the way this old book says to come, or you'll not go to heaven. There's no loopholes. There's no way out of it. Jesus said to one of the most religious men that ever walked on earth, Nicodemus, "You must be born again." We have to trust Jesus in order to make heaven our home. More than 4 out of 5, this was in 1993, more than 4 out of every 5 Americans agree that we will be called before God at the judgment day to answer for our sin. I'm going to tell you something right now. I'd say it's not 4 out of 5 now in 2022. I'd say it's a whole lot less than that now. You say, "Pastor, why would you say that?" Because if we believed that, we'd act differently. We'd walk differently. We'd talk differently. We'd live differently. We would trust Christ while that we still may. Now, I want to ask you this. I've talked about a great binding and a great blessing and a great battle and a great book. Let me say this. I don't want to say it in a mean-spirited way. I want to say it even looking in the mirror. Brother Wayne, with these truths, where's that great burden? Where's our burden? Where are the moms? Where are the dads? Where are the mamaws? Where are the papaws? Where are their just everyday neighbor that knows their neighbor's lost without God? Where's our burden? You see, if you read on, I'm not going to read it, but if you read on in the next chapter, God's going to show you a holy city coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Having just witnessed, this is what I believe, that God's people are not judged at the great white throne judgment, but I believe we'll witness it. Brother Lowell, I get that from this fact. In the very next chapter, here comes the city. He has to wipe the tears. He has to wipe them, Brother Gary, away from our eyes. You think about that. I don't know, Miss Eve. Your dad and I have very little in common. But I don't want to see him go to hell. I won't rejoice that day. Where's our burden? I'll be honest with you. Somebody help me right here. I'm going to use this East Tennessee vernacular so you understand what I'm saying. It's getting hard for many to get their own hind end in the house of God, let alone get somebody else to come. Hear the gospel. Am I right or am I wrong? I'll tell you, in that day, this is the way I picture it. Brother Chad, come up here to help me a minute. This is the way I picture it. This picture, Brother Chad, is being a lost man. Now, I'll put him the pastor. He'll be the preacher. I'll be the lost man. It'll be easier that way. In that day, if anything could be said, I'll either say to him, "Think about that day. Why didn't you tell me? He's the preacher. He's the pastor. He carries the Bible to church every Sunday. Why didn't you tell me? I'm getting ready to be cast into hell." Or it could be like this. "Pastor, I wish I'd listened. I don't know about you, Pastor, but I'd much rather Have somebody say, I wish I'd listened. Then why didn't you tell me? Thank you, brother. Thank you. Amen. This is close to home. I'll just leave it in general. Think about cancer. How many of this building, your family has been touched by that awful, dreaded disease of cancer? Many, if not the majority. Think about this for just a minute. Brother Chad, if I had the cure for cancer and I kept that in my pocket, what kind of man would I be? I don't have the cure for cancer, Brother Steve, but I have the cure for sin. I know the cure for sin. Years ago, I heard a statement, and I'll wrap the message up with this. Here was the statement. Life is short. How many say amen? I didn't used to think that. But I know that now. Life is sure. The second part of the statement was death is sure. The third part of the statement is sin's the cause. And the last part of the statement, Christ is the cure. The only cure for sin is Jesus. It's not membership in a Baptist church, a Catholic church, a Methodist church, or any other church. The cure for sin is Christ. The blood, that precious blood that was shed on that old rugged cross is the only cure for sin. You and I know that. Question this morning, where's our burden? Where's our burden? Where's our burden? Where's our burden? I'm going to tell you something right now. When it becomes a battle for God's people to get themselves to the house of God, we're in trouble. Some of you didn't hear me. When it becomes a battle for God's people to get themselves to the house of God, we're in trouble. That's exactly what old Slewfoot would like to do, is just tie us up in ourselves so that we have not one minute to pray for someone else, to encourage someone else, to invite someone else, to share the gospel with someone else. Brother Coulter, he calls me every once in a while, Brother Steve. I know he does you too. And I thank the Lord for that relationship that you have. He just absolutely thrilled to get to tell somebody else about Jesus and watch them respond. Coulter's got a heart of gold. He's taking a survey trip in April to Alaska. He loves the Lord. He loves his pastor. Hardly a time that I talk to him that he don't tell me how much he loves the church. But I'm going to tell you, above all things, he loves sinners. He just believes that this book can change an individual's life. Their name can be sealed in the book of life. And they can go to heaven when they leave this world. Amen. How many's glad you come this morning?